For the first time, Manchester City have won the UEFA Champions League.
30 seconds beyond the five added minutes. DeMarco's corner flicked on by Gosens, punched down from under his bar by Edison. Brozovic can't get there, can't return it. It's the last kick. It's the full-time whistle that signals Manchester City's move into footballing immortality. European champions for the first time, the realisation of a dream.
We break down the 2023 final and look at how Pep Guardiola ended a long wait to conquer the continent again by beating Inter in Istanbul. We also discuss the best players, goals, moments and matches from another season in the Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and Manchester City fans will love the sound of this. They are the champions of Europe. European football expert Chris Parrott is alongside me. Minutes after the full-time whistle, we see the desolate Inter players on the pitch right now, but Pep Guardiola punching his fist into the air.
Incredible, really. 12 years after he last won it. As a football fan, it's wonderful to see him back, frankly, having lifted it again to join that incredible list of three-time winners. One of the greatest coaches ever. And the Manchester City fans at that end of the stadium are I think, scarcely believing that they've won the treble and they're champions of Europe for the first time. And then, as ever, in these great occasions, the contrasting emotions 100 metres away, Hakan Çalhanoğlu currently being lifted up off the floor by Romelu Lukaku. It's difficult to watch, actually, because they put so much into a compelling final. Only one goal. But right until the very last touch, which was an Edison save, you did not know who was going to be crowned kings of the continent.
An incredible night in Istanbul. We're waiting for the trophy lift. So in the meantime, let's remind you how the action unfolded. Phil Blacker was your commentator.
Rodri working it wider for Bernardo Silva, who brings it down here, advancing into the box. Still with Bernardo Silva, options in the middle. He goes crossfield and didn't miss the far post by much. It was a very deliberate effort there.
It's a magic left foot that Bernardo Silva has. I would suggest that was a centimetre away or so from nestling in the top corner.
Finds Manuel Akanji, takes a couple of touches, advances and slips. An excellent ball through for Bernardo Silva. He will cut it back from the byline right-hand side. Where will it fall? Oh, it's dumped in by Rodri! Is that Manchester City's moment? It's Rodri with a breakthrough goal in the Champions League final.
And he's crunched it beyond two Inter players who were in his way. He's bent it round them both. Arnautović didn't move.
In towards the edge of the penalty area, Çalhanoğlu got something on it. Lukaku's battling for it. DeMarco's there as well with a header. Bounces back off the bar. DeMarco again can't force it in. And a scramble ensues, and Manchester City now will be able to bring it clear through Bernardo Silva.
DeMarco, the Inter fan, the Inter boy, only get a better chance to bring his team level in the Champions League final.
Gosens to attack it, rises. Oh, Lukaku, it's saved, and it's bundled behind by Ruben Diaz. And how has that stayed out? Oh, Inter so close to the equaliser. Again, they can barely believe that they haven't scored here.
Inter will now look back on two moments. How are they not level? And as you mentioned, it feels like it's City's night, it's City season.
It went down to the last action, a dramatic, incredible final save that preserved the City lead, that earned the win. Edison superb into the final moments. We're watching the City players in the meantime still embracing each other. Jack Grealish doing a pitchside interview for British TV right now has just broken into another flood of tears. There is emotion flowing through this Manchester City team, and Phil Blacker, our commentator for the game, they had to fight for this one.
All the way right to that very last touch of the game. There were plenty predicting that Manchester City would be too strong for Inter, that they would have this all their own way. I think it became very clear very early on in the game that was never going to be the case, and it was in the balance right to the whistle. So often that the last hurdle to overcome is the hardest, and I think that was true for Manchester City to an extent psychologically, but mainly because of the performance that Inter put in. There was a genuine belief that they themselves had fostered throughout this competition, which had begun with defeat against Bayern as they progressed further through the knockout rounds. They felt that they could go on and win it, and that wasn't just words. Their performance backed that up with the display that they put in, with the intensity and the energy that they provided right the way to the end. And even having gone behind to that brilliant Rodri goal, that belief never wavered. They continued to attack, and so many scares for Manchester City. There was just the sense, I think, when the second of those close shaves came and went, that the stars were aligning, that it was going to be Manchester City's night. But yeah, how they had to labour and sweat and dig in and show not just the quality that we know they have, but the heart and the desire that we know they have as well. It was all on display. It was a final that had a little bit of everything.
Just seeing Simone Inzaghi just sort of staring quite blankly into the distance, because I think he spoke in the build-up, Rob, about, yeah, we've got a game plan. We know he has this incredible record of winning finals. I'm honestly not sure if in his dreams that Inter could have played any better against this formidable force, but maybe we saw why this City team this season is their best under Pep Guardiola, because they didn't have it all their own way, but they never crumbled. At 0-0 and then at 1-0 when Inter came at them with everything in the final 15 minutes. They had that steel and resolve, and I think maybe that's why we're seeing this emotion, the tension which had been bottled up, getting bigger and bigger by the minute, just relieved on that full-time whistle. And they know that they've not just written themselves into club folklore and history as winning this for the first time. They've won the treble, and that word footballing immortality, I think, is correct for them. You know, they've matched. It's only been done once in England before. Who knows if it will be done again, frankly. Even this great team almost didn't manage it this evening. That's how hard it is to do. And they somehow got over the line at the end.
They are only the 10th team in total to do the treble from any country in history, the domestic league and cup double and winning the European Cup as well. Pep Guardiola's done it twice now. He did so with Barcelona in 2009 as well. But what it means to this club, how long they've been striving to witness these scenes, for it to come at the conclusion of a season where they have been so dominant domestically, by Guardiola's own admission. For everybody else, I think, to appreciate just what they have done, they needed to win this competition. And that pressure was weighing, I think, at times pretty heavily on the shoulders. We saw that at stages of this game as well. And so they had to deal with that as well as everything else, as well as this brilliant, obdurate Inter side, to find a way to win, to get the job done. And however they did it, they've done it. And, you know, this is a season now that they will talk about forever. They've joined Manchester United in the annals of English history, but they are right up there in terms of any European club side. The achievements of this season, what we've witnessed from Manchester City, have to be placed in that sort of context.
I wonder what City fan, given the fact that they were so far behind Arsenal in the domestic title race, could have even predicted they'd be in this position mere months later, three or four months later. We are getting close to the trophy lift, because the UEFA president, Alexander Čeferin, has emerged from the tunnel with dignitaries from both Manchester City CEO and the president of Inter Milan, and now alongside where the trophy will be. And you may have heard the scratching in the background previously of Manchester City's name being etched into the trophy for the first time. The City players are still celebrating, but there is a brief moment of calm here as they begin to form the guard of honour for the Inter players. And the losing side supporters, Chris, have not left. They have stayed. They want to pay tribute to their team that have exceeded expectations by getting here.
Full-time whistle went and the City fans went crazy, but the Inter fans all broke out into applause. Immense pride of the way they played, I think. And actually, I think that guard of honour couldn't be more apt. I think within that City dressing room, there will be a huge amount of respect about the performance that their opponents came up with. And now we see the trophy, Rob, with those sky blue ribbons on it for the very first time, being brought out into the Atatürk Olympic Stadium. And this is a moment that City fans have dreamt about. I wouldn't say forever, because there was a long time when they weren't in this competition, and they were perhaps dreaming about winning other things domestically, but certainly for the last 10, 20 years, this is the moment they've been craving and waiting for four, and now what, we are 2 or 3 minutes away from it being a reality.
Hamit Altıntop, the former Turkish international who is an ambassador for the Champions League final in his home country in the city of Istanbul tonight. He's just placed the trophy on the plinth. The City Guard of Honour awaits the Inter players and the team of officials as well, who will receive medals very shortly. And we'll try and get through the story of the game as well as we bring you the trophy lift here. We see the team of referees coming through now. Phil Blacker, great job.
Yeah, it was always going to be a difficult game for anybody. It needed an official like Simon Marciniak, who was the referee at the World Cup finals, the fourth official, I think, in 2018. But he dealt with it brilliantly, kept his cards in his pocket for as long as he could. And we saw at the end when he had to get those yellow cards out, it was so tense. And he dealt with it wonderfully well. And this is a moment that the officials, as they now get their medals, the officiating team as well from Alexander Čeferin, that they will remember for the rest of their lives. Yeah. What a proud moment for everybody involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's very competitive in the refereeing world. It's an honour to be named as the referee for the final. And from the moment he came out on the pitch, we saw him joking with Edin Dzeko. Felt like he was an equal of the players tonight. And you just saw there, the applause was for the referees from the City officials, and at the end Pep Guardiola gave him a big handshake. Nice to see, and now we see Inter.
Yeah, that's right. Lautaro Martinez is the player leading the Inter players through the Manchester City Guard of Honour. So we're seeing these blue and black shirts, the familiar striped shirts of Inter, piercing through a crowd of people, including the coaching staff in sky blue, as Lautaro Martinez is the first to pick up his runners-up medal. Simone Inzaghi with the unfamiliar feeling, really, as a head coach, of picking up his runners-up medal, as Alexander Čeferin, the UEFA president, starts to hand them out. It will be no consolation in the immediate aftermath, Phil, that this has been a remarkable run from Inter, but it has been a remarkable run from Inter.
And I think in time, the players will be able to reflect on their performance with pride because of how close they came, those late opportunities, those near misses. There will always be that what-if moment when they think about this final, but they have to be able eventually to reflect on it with real pride, because as Chris says, they couldn't have put any more into it. They produced a wonderful performance to a level that probably surprised a fair few observers going into this final. It probably didn't surprise Pep Guardiola to an extent. I think he always knew the scale of the challenge that Manchester City were going to be facing, but Inter certainly rose to that challenge. They couldn't have given any more, and it still has been a successful season for them. And in time, they can think about that. Right now, it's a little consolation, of course.
Yeah, and there's a few red-rimmed eyes, actually. Matteo Darmian there, I think the tears will be flowing for a while. The stadium's full, Rob, I know you mentioned it, but yeah, not a soul has left. And all of the Inter fans are applauding as Marcelo Brozovic gets a special hug and words from Alexander Čeferin. I mean, they performed brilliantly on the night. City were able to take their moment. I know we'll talk about it. I'm still not sure how the ball stayed out of Edison's net on those two occasions. We could have been deep into extra time by now. And it felt like it was going to be, actually, as that game drew to a close.
Everyone from Inter has now received the runners-up medal. And the Manchester City players, you can just hear the roar from the City end of the stadium, because it is their players who will now receive their respective medals. We can still see all sky blue down one curved end of the Atatürk Olympic Stadium. The last final here was won by an English side in Liverpool in dramatic fashion against a team from Milan. And Edison is the first player to make his way down the line to get his medal. He's getting a very special cheer from the coaching staff, Phil, who are now forming the Guard of Honour.
He had a significant role to play, Rob, didn't he, right at the end of the drama, somehow keeping that clean sheet intact that was enough for the trophy. They become the 23rd club to win the European Cup, the first new name on the trophy since Chelsea won it in 2012. And as Pep Guardiola now gets his medal, his third, of course, in this competition, has a little glance at the trophy as he circles it.
A little wink, I think, yeah.
He will leave it to Edison to go and kiss that trophy as they all prepare to take their place on the platform.
And it feels right that Pep Guardiola is back as a winner, and he joins Paisley and Zidane. And Ancelotti is the only ones who have won it three times. Ancelotti's won it four times. But one of the great minds that we've ever witnessed the game, and 12 long years, and he's back as a winner. And it's shining in the Istanbul night. Jack Grealish takes a kiss. And I mean, this season is just incredible. And Rodri is still being spoken to by Pep Guardiola.
What a story after Rodri was left out on the bench unused 2 years ago to return here and score the winning goal. And yeah, a brilliant goal it was as well. One that will be replayed so many times down the years.
We'll break down the match blow by blow shortly. But first, it's time for the moment that Manchester City fans have dreamt of and that you at home listening have been waiting for, as Erling Haaland shakes his head in disbelief and doesn't touch the trophy. He will wait for his moment to get his hand on Old Big Ears. So, speaking of which, as the final City players collect their winners' medals, including the injured Kevin De Bruyne, I'll hand back to Phil Blacker for the 2023 trophy lift.
Yeah, De Bruyne receiving his medal. He was disconsolate as he trudged off the field through injury in the first half. A smile now on his face. His teammates got the job done without him. He's another that didn't even look in the direction of the trophy. The captain, Ilkay Gundogan, is going to be the last to receive his medal before the presentation. Twice a beaten finalist in this competition, including a decade ago, but he returns as a winner as the trophy is presented to him by Alexander Čeferin, and he will take it now to join the rest of his teammates before lifting this aloft on the platform that has been assembled under the arch that saves winners. And that, more fittingly than anything, sums up Manchester City's season. Gundogan taking his place in the middle of his teammates, ready to hoist this trophy aloft after so many seasons of striving. Here comes the crowning glory. For the very first time, Manchester City are champions of Europe. And in doing so, they become treble winners. The fireworks go off in the background. The Manchester City players jump in unison after a season in which their collective spirit has overcome every challenge. Premier League and FA Cup success followed here on the grandest stage of all in Istanbul by the one that they wanted the most of all. They have their hands on the Champions League trophy, and the celebrations start here for Manchester City. Memories that will last a lifetime.
The latest player to get his hands on the trophy, Ruben Diaz, who holds it high in the sky as the gold and silver ticker tape rains down on the players. And it is largely the players now. Guardiola steps away, and the coaching staff and the backup staff, and it's a big staff of people, are now just starting to join those Manchester City players, and everyone will be hoping for their photo with yeah, the most iconic trophy in club football, Chris Parrott.
Yeah, and they all deserve it. And you know, right now, you can't not think back to the journey that City have been on this century, and some of the players, from Paul Dickoff and Sean Gota, who scored huge goals, through to Yaya Toure and Carlos Tevez and Sergio Aguero, of course, have all been part of this journey. And now this group, under Pep Guardiola, have finally crossed that finishing line. And they now have European glory to add to their English domination. And, you know, some of those City fans, the youngsters have only ever known glory, but those who are aged 30, 40, 50, 60, I wonder if they ever dreamt when they saw other huge clubs in the northwest of England, in Liverpool and Manchester United, enjoying these moments, whether they truly ever thought we'll have that. Well, they have this evening, and who knows what will happen in the future as well.
They hope this will only be the start of an era of continental dominance to match that domestically. But yeah, I remember December 1998 it was, when they lost at York City in the third tier of English football. They slipped to 12th position, yeah, in what was then Division 2. They have never been lower in their history. And here they are now as champions of Europe. And to go even further back, this is only the second time that they have ever won a European trophy. 1970 in the Cup Winners' Cup was the first occasion when they beat Górnik Zabrze, I think it was, in Vienna, in a game that wasn't even televised live in the UK because it clashed with an FA Cup replay. You look now at these scenes that are unfolding with the eyes of the footballing world on them. They take centre stage, they take the spotlight, they embrace it, they've earned it. And now the challenge is to be back here time and time again in an area of dominance that we've seen from the likes of Real Madrid. I guess that has to be the next challenge, doesn't it?
Yeah, and just saw Ruben Dias, who was phenomenal. That when you think of all the collective quality that City have, Kevin De Bruyne is having his moment now, and how wonderful actually for him, having been injured now in two Champions League finals. But he's a winner, and I can't think of a... You know, before tonight, if you were drawing up a list of the best players never to have won it, Kevin De Bruyne would probably be on it. Just that, as well as the quality and the technical ability, the spirit and the battling qualities that this City group have, I think that got them through tonight as much as anything, which just goes to show that you need everything in order to be crowned champions of Europe.
That cheer you heard, by the way, almost as big as the one when they first lifted the trophy, was for Erling Haaland, who went over to the City fans with the trophy in his hands, shook his head in disbelief, looking at it again, built up, lifted it up, and he has arguably been the difference and was expected to be the difference this season. And yes, he didn't score in this final, but he is the competition's top scorer, 52 goals, loads to get into as each and every player enjoys their moment with the silver. Well, let's break down the game, the actual football, Chris. Remember it, more than half an hour ago. Inter, no real surprise with their team selection. We knew that Mkhitaryan wasn't fully fit, he was on the bench. City didn't go with Kyle Walker, they went with Ake and Akanji, we think, to deal with the two centre-forwards of Inter. And Phil, it was a tough first half for Manchester City.
It was, it did not go according to their scripts at all. Inter took real credit from the way that they approached it with such intensity, with such energy. We always thought that they would be hard to break down, and that was the case, but they weren't just sitting in a deep defensive block as some had perhaps predicted, certainly in the early stages of the game. They got in Manchester City's faces, they closed down the player in possession, they hassled and harried Manchester City to an extent out of their stride, as much, I think, as I've seen any side do, certainly in the latter part of the season, given the run that Manchester City have been on. What they failed to do was take the chances that pressure created. There weren't many of them, but there were a couple of them, and that's probably realistically all you're likely to get against this Manchester City team. So it certainly gave, when they went in at half-time, having lost Kevin De Bruyne through injury as well in that first half, it certainly gave Guardiola an awful lot to think about.
Yeah, De Bruyne's injury could have flattened City in a way, and you did sense a feeling of dread amongst the supporters in the stadium at points, Chris, and maybe on the faces of the players.
Yeah, and, you know, when Manchester City won their first English league title for 40-odd years, it was done the most astonishing way with those two late goals. But again tonight, I think they came into the game, the supporters and social media, and hearing them out in Istanbul, supremely confident. But actually, when they saw how the game was going, I think they knew settling were in for a very tense night. And De Bruyne going off only added to that and only galvanised into that bit more. But they still had the two best chances in the first half through Haaland and through Bernardo Silva, who almost scored an incredible goal. And then it carried on until about the 65-minute mark when Inter were able, with this relentless press, to upset City. But you did wonder whether they'd be able to carry it on. And City just... I don't know whether they turned the screw or whether maybe some tired legs came into it, but just before the goal, you sensed that the City pressure was finally arriving.
There have been some uncharacteristic play from City players at times. Akanji leaving the ball for Ederson for that Martinez chance. Heavy touches from John Stones on occasion even, who largely had a brilliant performance in the final. But the goal, halfway through the second half, and it was a moment of brilliant play really from City. Yes, a bit of fortune about the way it broke to Rodri, but a very good goal ultimately, Phil.
It was an incredible finish from him. It really was. I mean, he never scored in the Champions League until that brilliant goal against Bayern in the quarterfinals, and then on the score sheet for the first time since then. But to strike the ball as hard as he did, with the control that he did, with the side of the foot really, to curl it very deliberately around a couple of defenders and get that sort of power on it, was astonishing. And you always felt that Manchester City would have a moment, such is the quality right the way throughout this side, that somebody at some stage of the game, as well as Inter were doing, as many chances as they were restricting them to, that there was always going to be that one moment, and Rodri was the one who stepped up and provided it. And it wasn't the end of the story, of course, there was plenty of drama to come after that, but there was always the feel, I think, once they got that goal, and the manner of the goal as well, that it would be the moment that this final will probably be remembered for.
Just quickly, Phil Foden there had a really lovely moment, you know, for all of the superstars that Manchester City have acquired. He is the local boy who grew up down the road as a fan, and he's now a European champion. But yet, I think the arrival of Rodri, who of course was left out the starting 11 2 years ago in the final that they lost, he is an absolute colossal force. I think he's a mixture of Diego Simeone's kind of aggression and physicality, and now having worked under Pep Guardiola, his kind of technical brilliance as well, complete player. And the way he rattled that in, it was a chance, which it was a great chance, but it wasn't necessarily guaranteed to go in, and my word, he made sure. And Andre Onana, who's been brilliant this season and was amazing tonight, didn't move a muscle.
The cameras were flocking around Gundogan and Rodri as they posed for a picture together. Gundogan's contract expires at the end of the season. It is not known exactly what his plans are, but he lifted the trophy as City captain tonight. Rodri holds the trophy aloft again, but in truth, a bunch of cameramen are following Erling Haaland around the place, really hoping to get that big blonde smile. There were chances for Inter, and it was a really good response, I felt, Phil, to going by, and they immediately went at City.
They did, and very nearly got an instant equaliser, just as I was speculating in commentary at the time of how big a psychological blow it was going to be for them to try and take to get back up from that, given everything that they'd put into the performance at that point, to then concede against this Manchester City side. And yet immediately, almost right from the kickoff, they did pick themselves up. They threw players forward, and they were so close to getting the equalising goal. And that really sums up the story for them. So close, so nearly, but so far for Inter. And again, even with the chances that came their way, a couple of them almost bordered down to luck, really. Just it could very easily have gone the other side of the post, bounced over the other side of the line. We are talking about the merest of margins here, but so closely contested was this final that was always likely to be the case, I guess.
Yeah, those are the two moments when DeMarco did nothing wrong with his header and it comes back off the crossbar, and then this follow-up hits Lukaku. Ruben Diaz might have kept out on the line. And then the later one, when Lukaku has a header, and Edison's left foot is behind the line, but he manages to get his knee over it to keep it out. It's a great save, but Romelu Lukaku will be thinking about that a lot. He made good connection. He was 5 metres out. He thought it has to be in. And then the rebound could have gone in. So, you know, when people say, well, what do you need for a treble? Obviously, you need amazing quality, incredible footballers, but you do need that slice of luck. And, you know, when you speak to every Champions League winner, they always say, yeah, you do need that slice of luck. You have plenty of bad luck in football. And City did have those couple of moments when it went their way, and had it not, it would have been 1-1, and it was an energy-zapping evening. I could have taken 30 more minutes of it. I'm not sure those those supporters could, as City continue these glorious moments, really, that if they can, they'll want to savour these and bottle these up and keep them forever.
Let's hear from City's captain, Ilkay Gundogan.
Well, it's an unbelievable night. We're so happy. It's difficult to put everything in words what just happened. It's still difficult to realize, but I think today we made history. We weren't on our best in the first half, I think. We were a little bit hesitating, even though we had a couple of good chances. We knew that we had to do better also in the second one. I think it's what we did, but still, it was probably a 50-50 game, you know. And just today, one goal made the difference, as probably many times in finals. And we feel very fortunate that it was for us.
10 years on from him scoring in the Champions League final in a defeat to Bayern with Dortmund, Ilkay Gundogan is a Champions League winning captain. Julian Alvarez, World Cup winner and Champions League winner in his first year, isn't he? It's not bad, is it? It's not bad at all for Julian Alvarez. So key for Argentina, of course, at the World Cup. Let's quickly flick back to Inter. They had that late chance as well tonight, but a brilliant save by Edison. And it was interesting watching Lautaro Martinez wait to the end of the line when they were picking up their runners-up medals to embrace every single one of his teammates after the defeat. What do you think they'll reflect? What do you think Simone Inzaghi will reflect about the night's work?
I think it will take a while to get over, actually. I think you saw those sort of forlorn faces just staring at the ground or into the distance, not because they've been overrun, far from it, but because they'll look back individually and as a team at so many moments, particularly when Manuel Akanji let that ball drift to Lautaro Martinez. Should he have squared it? He went for goal. It was a good save. And then we talked about those two moments when they must have thought they had equalised. And, you know, they knew they were coming up against this incredible force. But I wonder if it's almost harder to take in the immediate aftermath because they were their equal. We heard from Ilkay Gundogan, right? He called it a 50-50 final, and it was. Maybe it's easier to digest immediately if you think, oh, they were much better than us and they won 3 or 4-0. But it was not that way. And so the hurt right now will be very difficult to get over.
Yeah, particularly painful, I think, to come so close, not even to get the opportunity of taking it to extra time. Because I do believe the way that they played, they thought they were going to win this game. I don't think too many other people did, and they relished the role as underdog, and they probably played a little bit on that in the build-up. But they, as a team, as a band of brothers, really, who fostered this spirit over the course of the season under Inzaghi, they felt they could win this, and they played as if they believed it. That wasn't just talk before the game. It was backed up by what they did on the pitch, and that's why, having got so close, this will hurt that bit more, I think.
OK, let's reflect a little bit more on the whole season in the Champions League as Rodri puts his winner's medal on the neck of his partner, Laura, and they celebrate together on the pitch as well. Family and friends are starting to spill out onto the pitch of the Atatürk Olympic Stadium as well. We've done a little unofficial Match Day Live award ceremony for best game, best goal, best moment and player of the season. Yes, Chris, already something.
I'm quite pleased with myself.
We'll get to it.
Can I change one of mine?
All right, we'll get to the reason why Chris is so happy. So going with best goal first, and this was Phil Blacker's selection.
Cancelo with the outside of the ball! And Haaland has scored for Manchester City! One chance, one goal!
All right, let's try and do these relatively quick. But that was a memorable goal, wasn't it, Phil? That acrobatic effort from Haaland.
Well, that ticked every box for me. It was a brilliant ball in off the outside of the boot by Cancelo. Wonderful acrobatic finish from Haaland. And in the context of the game, they've been behind against Dortmund. He scored the winner against his former club. For me, that was the standout.
Against his former club, the club he left last summer, of course. A 2-1 win for City against Dortmund in the group stage. OK, this is Chris's pick for best goal of the Champions League.
Rodri takes over, steps away from Musiala, left footed shot, oh, what a goal! It's a goal out of absolutely nothing, but it's a goal of absolute brilliance from Rodri.
Chris, Rodri against Bayern in that Champions League knockout stage win.
Yeah, turned into a 3-0 victory in the quarterfinals, but it was goalless at that stage. And the way, first of all, he beat his man with a trick, and then on his left foot, from the edge of the box. We saw him score on his right foot in the final, but to bend it brilliantly, it was an amazing moment, and it felt like the moment that they won that tie and then set up the semi-final, and we know what happened after that.
We certainly do, and there'll be more Rodri chat shortly. Here's my favourite goal from the Champions League.
And it's Rafa Leao to come forward on the left flank. It's a terrific throw from Leao. He's away from Ndombele. He's up against Romani. It's Rafa Leao! It's Giroud! Milan lead!
It was probably the moment that took my breath away the most in the Champions League. Milan one up from the first leg away to Napoli. And Rafael went on this George Weah-like run in that red and black shirt up the field to basically set up Giroud for a tap-in. It was the goal that really ended Napoli's hopes of turning the tie around as they went on to win 2-1 on aggregate. Probably the best piece of skill we saw in the Champions League this season. OK, let's go to best game. This is Phil's shout.
Into with everybody back inside their own box. Brilliant ball in, wonderful header. Oh, Lewandowski again. 3-3.
See if we haven't heard enough of you tonight, Phil. You've gone for one of your own.
It wasn't just the fact I was commentating on it, but it did probably stick in my
Which
mind a bit
it?
More
Which
because of that.
It?
But it was just an incredible match day four meeting, 3-3 Barcelona against Inter. And effectively, really, if either side had lost that, they would probably have gone out of the competition. Barcelona knew they had to win that. They twice trailed. It was just an incredible, frantic end-to-end sort of game. Lewandowski scored a couple of late equalisers, ultimately not enough for Barca. But it was that point for Inter that effectively helped their qualification. They clinched it with a victory against Plasencia and the following match day. And that sort of display, I think, that fostered the belief I've been talking about, that they've carried all the way to the final.
Chris takes us to Anfield for his best game of the season.
Vinicius Junior pokes it through. Benzema, chance to make it five. And he has done. Absolutely brilliant from Karim Benzema and Real Madrid.
Yeah, Liverpool 2, Real Madrid 5. It was extraordinary, Chris.
Incredible. Liverpool 2-0 up in no time. You thought, oh, another incredible Anfield evening. And then the holders at that stage, of course, 5 unanswered goals at Anfield. That doesn't happen very often. And at that stage, you were watching them. It was perfection, their last goal, as far as I'm concerned. You thought, well, they're going to be unstoppable again, aren't they? And, of course, it took an unbelievable Manchester City performance to stop them going through to another final, ultimately.
Yeah, I'm taking on Real Madrid as well, actually. The first leg of the tie with City, that 1-1 draw, which was... It just felt like football at such a ridiculously high level, didn't it?
Yeah.
Between the two sides before City blew them away in the second leg. Two wonderful goals for Vinicius Junior and Kevin De Bruyne. So that's my shout for best game moment of the season. This is Phil's involving Inter once again.
Di Marco down the left-hand side. A chance to pull it across to Lautaro Martinez. And Mkhitaryan makes it 2-0. What a start for Inter.
Yeah, Phil, the semi-final derby between Milan and Inter, and that start for the Nerazzurri.
It was all really about the context of it, because the atmosphere at San Siro was just absolutely incredible. And you thought before the game it was probably a tough one to call between those two rivals. Such a sense of occasion going into the game. And then 11 minutes into it, Inter were 2-0 up. They came roaring out of the blocks. We thought it might be a fairly cagey start in a match like that. And it was anything. But it was the sense of theatre, I think, inside San Siro that night, particularly when that goal from Mkhitaryan went in. And ultimately, of course, it proved to be the goal that effectively secured their passage to through to the final. There was one more required to wrap it up in the second leg, but they got the job done in those first dozen minutes of the first leg.
And Chris, you're going to take us to a game I've already mentioned, Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 1, for your moment of the season.
Yeah, it actually follows on from what you said about that first leg being such amazing quality. And at the end of it, the kind of footballing respect between Kyle Walker and Vinicius Junior, who had had this amazing battle. They went up to each other and gave each other a hug, and there were no words exchanged. You just knew that these two supremely talented footballers had such mutual respect for each other that they had both performed brilliantly.
And some of their one-on-ones were just
amazing.
Brilliant to
like,
watch.
Yeah. One time Vinicius Junior would win the battle, then Kyle Walker would come back, but watching it, you were thinking, this is like, you know when you watch a game or two players and you think, they are unbelievable at football. And it felt like that evening.
That's the kind of analysis we need for the show, Chris. Speaking of being unbelievable at football, here's my highlight. Best moment of the season.
Oh, I do not believe it! Erling Haaland has 5! Absolutely ruthless from him and Manchester City, who are pulverising Leipzig now.
Let's take you back to the round of 16. Remember, the City were held to a 1-1 draw, tight game in the east of Germany against Leipzig. And then Erling Haaland scored 5 goals in the second leg. One of the very few players to have done that. And I think he would have scored many more were he not taken off in the second half. He has finished as the Champions League's top scorer. I guess that's a decent cue to get us into our player of the season and young player of the season. So, Phil Giacchi, you want to do both of these for us?
Well, I went, and this was picked yesterday, with De Bruyne, because I thought he was going to be...
No one's
going
to be upset with you because he got injured.
I thought this was going to be his fitting moment in the final, but I just think he's been outstanding again, particularly
incredible
in the knockout stage. I mean, more assists than anybody else in the Champions League this season. That brilliant goal in the first leg, that really important goal in the first leg against Real Madrid as well. And maybe just for his consistency, because he has been so important over so many seasons. And this season, he's played a part in them... In them going on to win it, maybe not the part that he wanted to play ultimately in the final, but he's been superb again.
Unfortunately, I had a time machine and I moved 24 hours into the future, and
yes,
I picked Rodri.
You did pick Rodri, yeah.
I think, obviously, when you think of City, you think of Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne as perhaps their two maybe most important players.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think if you take Rodri out, there would be a pretty big hole. And he, I mentioned it earlier, he has everything. We saw tonight the way that he finishes, but the way that he has dominated games and given City that kind of savviness in central midfield as well, in big moments, he knows what to do. I think he is the complete midfielder. And he's only in his mid-20s, which is a scary prospect for everybody else. So for me, I think it's Rodri. And as I said, I'm very happy that he scored the winning goal now, having mentioned it. I did also slightly cheat because I came up with an inter option.
If they won. Well, Rodri, look, he deserved it in the end. Your young player, Chris?
My young player is Camavinga, because I thought in central midfield, we know how good he is, but then he played this kind of inverted left-back role and was incredible at it. And it took an amazing Manchester City team who have won the treble. It took an amazing performance to knock Real Madrid out. Otherwise, they would have come into this game tonight as favourites against Inter. Who knows what would have happened. But for me, it was a coming of age couple of months of Camavinga, and he thought this is the... Whether he plays left back, whether he plays central midfield, who knows. But he showed what a very, very special player he is.
This was hard. So we did player and young player of the season. So you've done yours. Phil, we'll get to your young player in a minute. I was looking, do I go Vinicius or Haaland? And then they're both 22. So then I almost want to give one and the other. But I will go with Vinicius Jr. I just thought he stepped it up another level. We know how good he was last season. I think that Champions League final winning goal against Liverpool was... a bit of a gear change probably in his head as sort of the status of player that he was, but I just thought every single game, and in particular the way he tore apart Liverpool, was just the most thrilling football maybe I saw in the Champions League this season. But for me, it'd be him and Haaland in some hybrid of getting both prizes. Phil, you've got another player in mind there for young player of the Champions League.
Well, I kind of went with someone who was playing in it for the first time and had a huge impact, Kvaratskhelia, not necessarily in terms of his stats, although they were impressive, but just passing the eye test, really, because he was so wonderful to watch and embrace this competition.
Yeah.
Defenders didn't really seem to know how to deal with him, certainly in the early stages of the competition, and it carried on into the knockout rounds as well. But just his ability on the ball, the way that he came, probably as a surprise package at the start of the season, to become one of the most talked about players in Europe as part of that excellent Napoli side. It was so brilliant to watch, and he was a big part of the reason why.
Okay, let's get back to tonight's action. We'll get to Phil's player of the season. He went off injured in the first half, the Belgian Kevin De Bruyne.
It's been a hard 2 months for me. You know, I've got a lot of issues with my hamstring, and it snapped, so it is what it is. I did everything to be okay, and it's a shame because I felt really good in the first half an hour and I thought I was doing well, but, you know, the team is good enough and we won, so that's it. It's amazing, you know, we've been working so long for this, and to be part of this, you know, the history for the club and for everything that we did as a team, you know, I think we fully deserve. We've not lost in the Champions League this year, so it wasn't the best game, but finals are always difficult, and now it's time to celebrate.
Certainly is. I'm sure he would have liked to have played a more pivotal part, but he has that Champions League winners medal. Interesting hearing him talk about the injury, Chris, because there were quite a few games, especially the back end of the season, where Guardiola seemed to be protecting him in some way.
Yeah, and he's just said why, hasn't he? And you saw when he went down, he was so hoping that he could carry on. It was 5-6 minutes, and then he he said, and also I think he needed to say, because this was not the type of game where they could give him 10, 15 minutes. Foden was ready to come on immediately. But I'm very pleased for Kevin De Bruyne, who is one, has been consistently for 5-6 years, one of the best footballers in Europe,
yeah,
to finally get his winning medal. And he will hope now to come back to a Champions League final and not pick up an injury one. But yeah, I mean, wonderful for him, and can pretty much name where that statue goes now, can't he, in the blue half?
Well,
of
wait
Manchester.
Till he hears that Phil Black is named in Player of the Season.
But you doesn't need a statue now, does
he? Okay, let's get more reaction. Let's hear from the match winner and the Player of the Match, Rodri.
Never in my best dreams, when I was a little boy, when I was going to train every day, when I was dreaming to play professional football, never dreamed to arrive in the States, score a goal, be decisive. This talks about, I think I grow a lot in the mentality side. Sometimes the finals are like this, but I think this lad deserves all these years. This is the mentality. We never drop. We could drop, say, okay, whatever, champion's not for us, but we keep pushing, we keep pushing. And now is the best moment because we win and we have the credit to win for next year, so it's important.
If you score that goal, you get UEFA Player of the Match. I'm tasking you and Phil and Chris to pick someone else to close out the show, your alternate Player of the Match from the 2023 Champions League final.
I wouldn't disagree with Rodri, but as an alternative, I'd go for Edison just for those late contributions in keeping
Chris
the clean
wanted.
Sheet. That's why I jumped in there first.
Unbelievable. There was a momentary silence and in he went. Ruben Dias.
Yeah.
When the crucial moments, he was there with the blocks and the headers. And I think without him, Inter would have equalised. And, you know, City have everything, right? They have these incredible footballers. They score the most outrageous goals. But now they have this group of players who also have this complete will to win. And that is a very dangerous mix. And it's helped them win 3 trophies this season. And you can guarantee that Pep Guardiola, not quite yet, but in the coming weeks and months, now it'll be about, let's do it again. Phil mentioned it. Real Madrid have won 3 in a row. I'm not saying they're going to, but the ambition certainly will not be to stop now. They've had this incredible campaign. It will be to somehow replicate it and keep on winning and keep on having these moments like they're enjoying out on the pitch at the moment.
I'm trying to think if there's someone else I should pick out, but I think we've done it. Edison, Ruben Dias, and the match winner. I think that's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Andre Onana's passing was absurdly good.
Yeah, that's true,
good.
Actually. He was unbelievably good. Andre Onana of Inter. But they have been beaten in this season's final by City in Istanbul. And that is all we have time for this evening. What a night it has been for Manchester City at the Atatürk Olympic Stadium. Don't forget to subscribe and download our podcast shortly after the match via your favourite podcast provider. My thanks to Chris Parrott, Phil Blacker, everyone who's worked on Match Day Live, and the production team as well on the show have made it such a joy to work on this season. It has been another fantastic campaign, which has ended with the new European champions being crowned. Congratulations, Manchester City. From me, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Every side dreams of hitting the ground running.
Horses, can he finish? He's put it past Kepa and into the net. And Dinamo have the lead. And the first goal of this Champions League season.
Carvajal is in there. Vinicius Junior is arriving. It's a brilliant goal for Real Madrid.
Others were clinical and relentless in their hunt for the knockout stage.
Zielinski tucks the rebound in. Napoli lead by 4-0.
Danny Olmo has made it 4-0.
Finds Salah again. Mo Salah, a hat-trick. The Egyptian has 3 and Liverpool have a mighty 6.
Epic battles raged in some of the continent's most iconic venues.
Inter with everybody back inside their own box. Brilliant ball in. Wonderful header. Oh, Lewandowski again. 3-3.
But as the group stage came to an end, former champions knew their run in the competition would not extend.
And Juventus are out of the UEFA Champions League.
Inter through, Barcelona out. It is quite the story.
16 remained on the quest for the throne as the Italian teams set the tone.
And they're on the break here. Napoli, Lozano crosses. Osimhen taps it in.
And Milan have got the first blood inside 6.5 minutes.
Now
out wide to the far side, and Barella in first time. Lukaku's there, hits the post, and the rebound is there!
And what about Erling? He was just doing his thing.
Ball in, and Blaswick with the save again. Oh, I do not believe it! Erling Haaland has five!
As the final came into sight, the best continued to show their might.
Rodri takes over, steps away from Musiala. Left footed shot, oh, what a goal!
And it might break for Benzema, it does, after Kepa got the touch. And it's turned in from right in front of goal.
It goes to Correa, who dances round his man and scores! A wonderful goal!
A repeat of last year's semi, heartbreak for the Rossoneri.
It goes to Bernardo Silva, oh, they've scored again! Manchester City are in dreamland right now. Martinez! And that is surely that!
Guardiola challenged his side to pass one final test.
Oh, it's stumped in by Rodri! Is that Manchester City's moment? It's Rodri with a breakthrough goal in the Champions League final. It's the full-time whistle that signals Manchester City's move into footballing immortality. European champions for the first time, the realisation of a dream.
Manchester City, simply the best.